Welcome to Three Righteous Mamas, a podcast brought to you by The Signal. We are on a mission to transform our country. We tell the stories that matter, celebrate the power and hope of pissed off mamas who are building a better future for all of our children. Hi, I'm Cristina Sansun Ramirez.
I'm Muna Husseini.
And I'm Martha Pinkoffs.
And we are so excited to have a special show for you all today. We know this month is Pride Month. And as a child of the 90s, I can just tell you, it still is like this amazing, shock, awe, wonderful thing that I see like Pride flags everywhere and every church, not every church, but lots of churches. Still, we need to get some of those other churches, but lots of churches, stores, schools, like with Pride flags everywhere. And it's just like absolutely celebrated in the norm. And so we are excited to have our own Martha and her partner, Joe, and beautiful kiddos with us today to talk about queer families and just get to know yours. So Martha, why don't you do the honor of introducing your absolutely fabulous family.
Could I please? So this fine woman right here is Julie Jo Sugar. Her middle name really is Sugar Walsky. And she's my wife of 4 years, almost about to be 4 years. She is in the tech field, much like our dear Muna. And she's an enthusiast of things out of scale. So she loves tiny things and she loves enormous things. And we make special road trips to see them. And she actually makes tiny, tiny things. And then this gorgeous young man with the red hair is River Bingham. He has his favorite color is orange. His favorite animal is a fox. His favorite food is sushi, and he's not sure what he's going to be when he grows up. Next to him is the darling town's birdie. Her favorite color is green. Her favorite animal is a bird. Her favorite food is Caesar salad, and she's going to be a veterinarian when she grows up.
Okay, I just want all our listeners to know that y'all have the most fantastic names of any family. And Martha's like the boring one, Martha. Everyone else is like River, Towns,
Sugar,
Joe Sugar. I mean, it's amazing. I like want an old Southern novel to be written about you guys or something that's like amazing names.
And I think we have to do everyone's intros like this now. Favorite color, favorite food.
Favorite animal.
I was just going to say, your kids are fancy. There's not many kids in this age bracket that are like, sushi and Caesar salad. Yes.
It's very fancy over here. They do have a chef ma, so they can't.
Santi's would be like microwave pizza and macaroni and cheese in a box. Yeah. So almost on scale.
Got you.
Yeah. We do plenty of that here.
I'm glad you already answered my first question because, Martha, when you've referred to your partner before, you call her Sugar. And I was wondering, like, is that like a can everyone call her Sugar? Is that only you call her Sugar? And then I didn't want to like step in it, but I'm glad you let us know. And so is it okay to call you Sugar also, or do you prefer Joe?
Wife.
I mean, it is my name. So. I think it's fair.
People call her Joe Sugar, Shugs. Yeah, you can call her Sugar.
All right. I like Shugs because it's also tough sounding, but also sweet at the same time. Mm-hmm. Right. So I have to know, I know we talked our last episode about how River became part of your all's family and like the day he was born, which was an awesome story. And you can see on our Instagram a little picture of him when he's little. But I need to know, how did you two meet? Because it's been longer than 4 years. 4 years married, but like...
Right.
So
4 years married, but 12 years together. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you talk.
But marriage has only been legal in Texas for 4 years. So really, it might be 5?
I'm not sure.
Okay. 4 or 5.
Yeah.
As long as it's been legal in Texas, we've been married. River came to us.
No, how did we meet?
Oh, how did we meet?
Yeah.
We had friends in common, and I heard a lot about her, and we met and we both had partners at the time.
We met at Pride.
We met at Gay Pride.
Yeah. I had on a legalized gay t-shirt, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You did. And
a statement piece on. Go
that's
on.
That's right. That's right.
And we both were in relationships at the time. And then we didn't cross paths again for 3 years or 4 years.
Yeah.
And neither one of us had partners mm-hmm. that time.
And it was Halloween. And she was dressed up as Sharon Stone from Casino. And I was dressed up as Willie Nelson with several other Willie Nelsons. And she had heard that I was looking, that I was single. And she tapped me on the shoulder and was like, hey. What are you doing?
Yep.
And then it was kind of off to the races.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Did you take her out on a date? I mean, like, what was the...
She invited me over and made dinner.
And I made her, her least favorite thing in the world to eat.
Yep.
Sushi. I mean, salmon.
Yep.
Oh my God.
I hate salmon. But I ate it.
Yep, she did.
Yep. I ate it really fast. So you just get it now.
And then you guys got married just 5 years ago when it became legal. Like, first off, I want to know what it was like before then. Because you guys were already in family formation.
Yes.
And then afterwards.
Yeah. So before then we were in family formation. We had all of like the basic legal paperwork that we needed for like power of attorney and living will and all of the things that a legal marriage guarantees one. Muna, do you have a question?
I do. And I'm trying not to interrupt, which is why I raised my hand for the people who are only listening on audio. Can you explain to our audience why that paperwork is important for people who don't know?
Yeah. So one of the things that is, I mean, one of the things that really haunted me as an unmarried gay family out in the world was that, like, if anything happened to either one of us, and for example, we needed to be in the hospital with the other, because there was no legal like paper that said you are family, we didn't have that guarantee. When we're in Austin, I am sure that we would have had accommodation.
We didn't have that guarantee that we couldn't
that we could be with each other, like in the very scariest and worst of times. Like that's when it's necessary to have those things in place. And so we had friends that did that whole suite of paperwork for us. So if something happened to me and I was in an accident, she would have legal power of attorney over, you know, medical decisions going forward and the other way around. So you kind of, it's worst case scenario thinking that we needed it for, that we needed that paperwork for. And we had that from, I mean, the minute we became parents, we got that.
But also financial, like, and legally to like protect our children, like,
yeah,
so that we could stay together.
Yeah.
Right? Cause for a time in Texas, when before it was legal to marry, when we adopt a kid, only one parent name is listed on the birth certificate. And then you have to petition the court and get a second parent's name added. So there's a scary period where there's just not paperwork
that keeps us legally safe. And so, you know, if something happens and a family member wanted to petition for the kids or, you know, wanted to challenge our family formation, it's really easy to do without that in place.
But now we're legally married and their birth certificates say both of our names as parent and parent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome.
Yeah. And in Texas, that's crazy.
And so I have to ask you about, so I remember, I'm sure everyone, I mean, I'm sure you too remember when the Supreme Court decision came out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being in my car and I didn't expect it at all. I started crying.
So did we.
Christina, I did not expect it either, but we were in New Orleans for her birthday. And I like turned on the TV and we just started sobbing. New Orleans erupted. Mm-hmm. Like that was a perfect place to be, but mm-hmm. it's so queer and so, bombastic that it was just, it was really fun to be there.
Mm-hmm. And then when did you get married? Like from that, because there were people that went down to the courthouse like that day that were there within hours. It was amazing and beautiful to see.
Well, we got stuck in the wedding planning paralysis. So like in the 12th month or the 11th month of the first year, we got married in our living room.
Yeah.
Like with no guests but our parents and our kids. So we made it within the first year.
Yeah.
That it was legal.
So River and Towns, this is a conversation amongst friends. And if you both have something you want to add, you should feel comfortable jumping in. And I say this because I saw y'all whispering together. So is there anything that you want to jump in on? No?
Towns. I want to ask how the wedding was for you all.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember the wedding, guys?
Not really.
It was very, very, very informal. And it was just us and our parents and the kids.
Yeah.
We didn't even have like nice outfits on.
No, I think I had a hole in my shirt.
Mm-hmm. I had even
good cake. Was there even good cake?
No.
No, but we did.
No wonder River and Towns don't remember this.
Exactly.
Cake, because otherwise you would totally remember.
We did get chocolates.
Yeah.
I mean, how, like, do you still have days when you all are like, I can't believe we actually finally get to be together and recognized?
I still have days where I can't believe it's legal. Like I can say my wife and it's not like my wife. It's like, no, really my wife.
Yeah.
Like my wife.
I think so. Like being your wife. I don't think about it a whole lot, except Pride Month is always a good time of reflection because I think about how far we've come and how fast it feels like in some ways. So, you know, I always find like queer books start popping up and people telling their stories. And it really is amazing to me how fast we have come this far.
So can y'all educate us and our listeners about Pride? What is it? Why is this month so important and special? And, you know, considering y'all met at Pride and sort of the anniversary month, like just talk us through a little bit of that.
My wife is so much better, better versed on all things queer Pride.
I'm not anymore, but I don't know why it's June specifically.
Stonewall riots, because those happened June 28th.
And the reason I'm confused why it's June specifically is because now Austin has changed it to like Austin's September. So I got confused there. It is just a time of solidarity and visibility and celebration. And like our voices being heard and getting to be with a mass amount of celebratory spirit for the whole community.
Yeah. And what I love so much right now is how much bigger the community has gotten. Like, I feel like the youngins are educating us so much on what gender means and what the binary is and how expansive the LGBTQIA plus world is. It's really, really big. Sorry, I keep putting my hand in front of your face. But it's like, There's room for everybody under the umbrella, it feels like to me.
You mentioned Stonewall.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So Stonewall was a bar in New York City, a queer bar in New York City, where it was drag queens that and trans women who the police just continued to raid the Stonewall Inn over and over and over again. And they were physically abusive to the patrons. It was a very well-known queer institution.
And I got to add, it wasn't just Stonewall that was being raided. All gay bars were like being run by the mafia and being police needed to be paid off or people would be arrested, brutalized, I mean, tortured. And they could walk in at any time and demand money and pay off. And then still do the raid, and it was illegal for you not to have at least two pieces of the right gendered clothing on at a time. And that was an arrestable offense. So if a woman was butch and wasn't wearing a brassiere or whatever, enough two pieces of mm-hmm. clothing. And if a man was not wearing enough male clothing, whatever that might be, they can be arrested. Mm-hmm. And when they were arrested, they were brutalized. They were assaulted. They were beaten. They were tortured. They were.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so finally they barricaded themselves in, and they actually reversed the flow of violence and held their ground in the Stonewall Inn. And it was led largely by a Black trans woman named Marsha P. Johnson, who is a name that most people know now. But that was, I mean, that was in the 60s. That was in the late 60s. That was not very long ago. And then following the 60s is the AIDS crisis, in a time of real, like, grief and solidarity and lack of care for the lives that were being affected by AIDS. It was very clearly affecting gay men. And because that's who was affected, it was given no voice, no attention, and they were left to just die. And we are missing a full generation of gay men who should still be alive today that are not, because they were lost to that disease and to the lack of care and expediency given to that disease. And so I think Pride exists because we have a shared trauma bond in some ways. And a lot of people are rejected by their families. We have experienced that. A lot of people are rejected by society. I think less so now because of the trajectory that we're on. But we come together and we hug it up, and the community itself is like magic and flamboyant and wild and
varied
and artful, and just like there's so much life to be celebrated there that's the essence of Pride for me.
When you think about the evolution of Pride, right, since it looks like the Stonewall riots happened in 1968 or 1969. Mm-hmm. And now it is 2021, right? It's been a few years. It's
been a minute.
How has the evolution looked to you in your own lifetime of, you know, because Martha, I've heard you say so many times, like, what would you tell yourself back then that you know now? And like, your response has always been like, wait, and I'm going to be able to do that? Like, that's going to happen? And so like, when you get to see Pride and something that's like centering you and having pride in who you are, and then like, I feel like it's just grown and expanded since I had awareness, and I've only known about it in the last couple of years. Like, what does that look like for you? And what has that felt like for you?
To be honest, I love the month. Like, I love the education that goes along with it. The actual like parades and stuff, I haven't done a ton of, if I'm just completely honest, because it's so, I don't know, that part's not my favorite part of it, but.
I love the parades. But at this stage in my life and with young kids, I don't get to the parades as much as I used to, but
yeah,
in my young years, man, this was fun time. This was a really fun time.
I also feel like what's amazing too is that this started in the United States and now it's a global international holiday that people celebrate. And it's hard, you know, now it's just like such part of the DNA of our country in so many places, not everywhere still, but like, I remember growing up that Pride, and I don't know what it was like for you guys, but Pride celebrations, especially early on, were like, this was the time you could come out and be safe and stand up together mm-hmm. and really make the community seen, because it was so much like, you know, folks were so much in the closet that it was like this really big, hard thing. A lot of times, like, for it was a big deal for someone to go march in Pride.
Yeah, that's right. Know. That's right.
Do you remember the first time you guys went and marched in Pride?
It's funny.
Or if it was like not a thing, maybe, but I remember for a while.
It was.
To go march actually publicly.
It was. My first girlfriend and I did go march in Pride, and it felt like I was looking around at like this community that I was a part of, and I definitely felt the gravity of that moment and that choice and that public like display. And I felt very proud. It had the desired effect for sure.
Well, we are so excited. Your all's family obviously already existed before the state gave you permission to exist, but that your all's rights as a family are fully recognized, and that we have like get to see River and Towns grow up with two amazing mamas. And I know we can talk a little bit about family formation, but I would love to just hear from River and Towns. So what does this month mean for you all?
Well, I mean, we definitely forget about it a few times because, like, it's summer and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, I guess this is the first time I remember celebrating Gay Pride Month. So, I don't exactly know how I feel about this.
Yeah.
I'm kind of loving that answer because that's how chill we are now. Like, like that tells me that it's, you know, like it's all good.
Yep. All good.
Yep.
What about you, Bees?
I don't know either.
Double thumb.
Let me ask you, what's it like to have two moms, and what do kids ask you questions about having other kids that don't have two moms ask questions?
Not really about having two moms, but sometimes or a lot about adoption.
What do they ask you?
Well, like, some people get confused if I was like in an orphanage at some point, which definitely not. And then honestly, that's basically the only thing they get confused about with me. What about you? The question was, has anybody asked you about having two moms? No. Okay.
So everybody just thinks it's super regular?
Or maybe I'm guessing nobody brings it up for her.
I thought some people, I heard this story that some people have called Martha your dad. Has that happened?
Not that I can remember of.
You guys don't remember, but when you were little,
At Escalita,
some of the kids thought, well, one of the kids was going, hey, Martha's dad, or River's dad. And I was like, who's River's dad? And then I was like, oh, he's talking to me. They thought I was your dad.
And the parent was like, beet red and like, I'm so sorry. And we were like, it's awesome.
Oh, it was not the children. It was the...
the children.
No, oh, okay. I thought it was the other parents. And I was like...
But then the parent was embarrassed. Like the kid had said something wrong.
No, it's their children.
Yeah.
Do you ever have to... So you don't ever have to tell anybody else, like explain to folks that you have two awesome moms or anything?
Not really. I guess most of the stuff that I'm confused about is adoption. So...
You know, it's interesting, like, how normal it's become. For last month, I got Santi a book at the library. It was, like, about gay pride and, like, kids with two moms or two dads. And I read it to Santi, and I said, do you remember we went to Martha's house in River and Towns have two moms? Isn't that cool? And he's like, yeah, sure. You know, it's just like, okay, whatever, you know, like, cool, two moms. That's like awesome. Cause I'm actually his favorite.
There's a little bit of healthy competition there. Right.
My nephew did, when he figured out that there could be same-sex couples, he was like, you mean some kids get two dads? Because his dad was like the super favored one at the moment.
Uh-huh.
And so he thought that was pretty cool.
I'm feeling that, because my husband is my son's favorite, and he doesn't even call him dad. He says, this is my butter. Oh. So I can see him trading me out really fast. I can have two buttas. I don't want two. I want two dads. Well, you know, River, to what you were saying earlier, when friends are asking you about adoption and how, well, wait, weren't you in an orphanage? It made me think that we as people have so many ideas in our head that are I'll just say maybe fed to us. And so about adoption, every kid must come from an orphanage, but that's not the only way adoption happens, right? And we have to realize, like, we tend to limit ourselves, and we don't even know that we're doing that. And so it's awesome that you take the time to share with your friends that, like, no, this is my story, and this is what being adopted means to me, but also this is my family, and this is what it looks like. And you get to knock down some more of those walls for people around you. And do you ever think, and this question is for River and Towns, but do you ever have any thoughts about how your family is different, or are you just mostly chilling and you don't really think about it because you're so busy doing all the beautiful things you're doing?
I haven't really thought about how our family is different, but I do know there are many ways how a lot of people have, like, moms and dads instead of, like, two moms or just two dads. So I've never really thought the question until now.
What about you? Is it B? Did you call her B earlier?
I call her Beezy.
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 On top of the cool names they already have, they all have cool nicknames. Go on.
What about you, Bees? Did you forget the question?
Yeah.
Okay. I bet Muna will ask you again.
I was just wondering if there's ways that you think about your family that you think are maybe interesting or different, or things that you notice, even if other friends aren't asking you questions. Like, let's say you were reading a book or you were watching TV, you know, you saw an ad at Target, right? Like, are there things that you ever think about, or is there, like, a funny story that ever happened to you?
I don't think about it that much.
I'm just loving this I don't think about it that much answer. Like, you both don't realize how happy it's making me.
Well, go ahead, Joe.
I think that the ways that my kids know that are like consuming messaging maybe isn't as much around, like, our family structure, but they are very sensitive and keen on toxic messaging around gender boxes. Right, guys? Is that what you feel like you pick up on more in cartoons? Yeah. And in books and movies?
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. We spend more time, I think, talking about that than...
Yeah.
Well, the straight world being dominant.
Well, can I ask about, for you two, like, obviously growing up queer has its own challenges. And then being, like, you know, as parents, you know, we love our children, and of course we don't want them to, like, suffer. And I think, like, Santi's only four. So, like, when I imagine him going to school and someone bullying him, like, I'm terrified. Like, oh my God, what if they did that to my child? Yes. And it's so great that River and Towns haven't experienced that. But is that something you worry about, like for them because of your all's family?
I worry about it more around adoption than I do around being gay. Because I think that there is more of a public discourse around gayness, and institutions are taking a stand on gayness and protecting gay employees, and especially in like the high tech world, like I feel very protected with that. I spend more time worrying about really unexamined beliefs around adoption, and I feel so tender about it for my kids. And that's more on my mind.
I think my, the thing I worry about and always want for them is just to not be boxed in by the social structure, and what the social structure tells us is appropriate, is not appropriate for boys, for girls, for anyone. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's a bully in and of itself. You know, the fitting in thing is can be pretty oppressive. And so that is what I worry about and try to have them really scrutinize the messages that they are being given and understand what the motivation is behind some of the messages. Mm-hmm. So these poor children do not get to watch a show without us hitting the pause button and being like, all right, so what happened there? What did you think was going on?
Uh-huh. A lot of times we just hit pause and they're like, we know, before we even get the topic addressed.
Oh my goodness. We need to get your kids together with my kids, because I do the same thing in my house. And my daughter's like, oh no, it's just my lecture again.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so interesting to me that even though my family is a cis, I don't know, normative family, that I also worry a lot about gender norms and societal expectations. And Martha, you're so right. It is so oppressive. Like, mm-hmm. growing up, I felt like I faced a lot of gender norms that I, like, I think my mom would have been perfectly happy if I was a little girl that wore dresses and had bows in my hair and sat quietly and, I don't know, like painted. But I was always like running around, riding bikes, like, you know, ripping tails off of lizards and climbing trees. And she just, poor, my mom was just horrible. Like, she's okay with me now, but she just, you know, she would always tell me when I was younger, and it's funny because she would say, can you be more sober? And I always be like, what? Because in the American context, sober is like not drunk. But I think in her context with British English, it was like, be more serious, be more sophisticated. And I was always like, just, I don't know. I feel like I was that kid from Charlie Brown with like the cloud over his head, just like flying everywhere. And
blindness.
Yes. And so, you know, even as a mom, like I would not let my daughter watch Disney princess stuff just because I was like, okay, but as a girl, you can be more than pink and you can be more than all these things. And so I was just like, no, go play outside. And I don't know if I pushed back too hard. I think now she doesn't care, but point being, we worry about the same things too. Yeah. And just trying to be open. I think the thing I'm really taking away though is, you know, in River and Towns, this is for y'all. I want to know what you think. Like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on outside, but like, how do you get really clear on listening to what's going on inside? Mm-hmm. Because that's the voice that matters the most, more than anything else. And so how do you feel about that? Like getting all the lectures and you get tired of it. Like, do you feel like you're able to listen to your own voice more, or is mom and mom, I don't know, mom and mama, was it?
Mommy and mama. Mommy.
No.
Mom.
Are their voices in your head?
Well, I've definitely heard that, like, saying, like, your inner voice is your real voice, or, like, your inner character is, like, your real character, and then I've definitely heard that saying that before, whether it's in books or shows, but I think most of the time I think it's annoying hearing it a lot, because like I hear it so much, and it's like in my brain, I'm like, okay, I get the message. No need to tell me in almost every show I watch. So.
Well, it's good to know the message has been received.
Mm-hmm.
Good to know. What about you, BZ?
I forgot the question again.
One of these days I'll learn. Do you feel the same way as your brother around like these things that your mama and mommy tell you? Or are you like, yes, keep going because I need more reinforcement?
Same.
I want to ask y'all, like, we've come so far, right? Where River and Towns are like, we don't really think about it. Like, this is just my mom's. It just is, right? Which is so awesome. But where do you feel like, you know, this month is about celebrating, but where else do we have to really go to get to a place where queer families really are fully accepted and have the same rights as everybody, as like heterosexual families?
I mean, one of the things that I feel like burning right now is all of the division politics that we see take shape in our state legislature every year. The trans kids are being picked on relentlessly, and they're being used as political capital to maintain power. And I feel like we need to, as a collective of caring humans, queer, straight, everybody needs to like wrap our arms around the trans community and help them be delivered safely into this world, because they are so much more likely to attempt suicide. They're so much more likely to self-harm in many ways. And they are much more likely to be the victims of violence. And so I feel like they need our full and immediate attention.
I know the bathroom bill has been a big issue for the last couple of years, and legislation, not just in Texas, but I think across the nation will continue to be a battleground, not mm-hmm. just for the queer community, but also for families in general. Can you remember, and I know I'm putting you on the spot here a little bit, Martha or Joe, but can you remember a time where allyship really floored you? Like, what did that look like for you, and what did it feel like? And it can be something big, it can be something small. But something, you know, possibly meaningful, right? Like, what does that look like for you, so that our audience can hear a little bit about that?
I mean, I will say, when I came out, I had one of my very best friends from college was very Christian and somebody that I was scared to come out to, and that I thought that I would lose that friendship. I thought that I would lose her. And she was so, and she wound up approaching me because she had heard, and she was hurt that I hadn't told her. But the way that she showed up for me in her emotional presence, in her like steady friendship of like, hey, don't be afraid of me. Like, I love you no matter what, and I want you to be the fullest version of you. And that act of care and her taking the time to do that for me felt like, and it felt like being a great friend, but it also felt like a support for me to be more fully who I was, which is allyship on that really deeply personal level.
I would say like I've been in high tech for a long time, and I used to work for a really big software company in Seattle, and I really appreciated that I had the ability to cover my partner's insurance on my policy, even though we weren't legally able to get married. But my company recognized that this was my partner and provided all of the same benefits to me and my family. And I appreciated that. And I've experienced it in every high tech company I'm in, because they got to do that to attract the talent. I get it, but I like it.
Yeah.
And then I would also say my best friend was my greatest example of an ally. And all she did was love me too. When I came out to her, I was like freaking out. I was like, I've got to tell you something. And I spit it out. I said, I'm gay. And she was still was sitting there like waiting for the rest, what's the rest of the story? And I'm like, no, that's it. And she was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, awesome. And then she educated me on gay stuff, and she's straight. She put herself in the community. She's like the gayest straight woman ever. And I appreciate her for loving me and lighting the way and really celebrating. And like, she knows the nuances of like the gay community because she cares, and she's straight. And we use her as a barometer for a lot of things, don't we? When we say like, oh, she's like Thalia.
Yeah.
Meaning she totally gets it, but she's not gay. So
that's y'all are like Thalia.
That's like the definition of allyship, though, where it's like she gets it,
but she's
not, fill in the blank.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's just that simple of like, when someone gets it, they get it. Mm-hmm. And it's more than the sympathy. Like, the sympathy is like, man, I don't, it's like.
Pass.
Yeah. Right. And Muna, they make an effort to get it. Like, it's not just passively get it. Like, my best friend made an effort to get it. And I appreciated that.
I remember when the Supreme Court ruling came down on marriage. And I think on Facebook, I like messaged everyone I knew who I thought might be queer. It didn't matter if they were in my city or not. And half of them were like, thank you. I never thought I'd get a message from you. That was really exciting. And I was like, I don't know. I was just happy for you. You just remind me that like, it's not always just being there in the difficult times, but like also showing up and like, I think remembering sometimes, like I'm always touched when people reach out to me around random stuff, as long as it's in like a sincere way, right? Like not in a performative way, but it is so important for us. Like, as I'm just thinking about this, like the fact that your kids are just kind of like, meh, what are you talking about? Like, to me, that's so beautiful. And that's how we should be normalizing things for our kids inside our homes, because that's where we model allyship and what that means. And, you know, Christina, you mentioned this earlier, like reading books and curating the content that comes into our homes, like movies, cartoons, like going out of our way to find topics, right? To be educating them, our children and our families about, and frankly, all of us, right? Like, it's not just our kids, but kids' books are such a great place to start. Mm-hmm. And then just the conversations we're having. I mean, just even the fact that we're having these conversations, and I even tell like my kids or my family, and they're like, oh, that's interesting. And then that starts more conversations too. But allyship can even be that simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's been, these guys have come with us to Jolt events at the Capitol. We've talked about Ramadan at our table. Like, all of the things happen in our house. Like, we get to talk about all of these things and live all of these things in our house. And from this position of parenthood, which I think is one of the most powerful things that we get to do with the position, is to show them this big world.
Right. And there's so much intersectionality. Mm-hmm. They were not three separate communities. There could be, like, I just met a guy last week and I didn't know he was gay, and he may not be, but like, I just saw his Facebook post and he was like covered in like pride flags. And
might,
like,
be gay.
He might be, but he might not be. He might just be an ally. But I was just like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
And I do have friends who are Muslim and identify as queer. And, you know, actually, I think I have a friend who is Muslim, half Latino, and also identifies as queer. And I know he's not a community of one, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So thank y'all. You've taught me so much while we've been sitting here. And, you know, queer families, however, whatever, I don't even want a label, right? It's just family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Family should just be able to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Period. And I want that safety for, even though I'm not queer, I want that same safety for my family too, which is why I feel so strongly to throw down for your family, because I worry about my own kids too, mm-hmm. in a different way, right? And
yes.
This is what it's about, like bringing all of us to the table and building that world for all of our kids.
That's right.
To be able to have that, right? Sorry, I'm getting emotional here. I'm going to pass the mic to
Christine. You just gave me some goosebumps.
I just want to thank you all for sharing your story with us, and River and Towns for taking time out of playtime. People don't know, but it is summertime now. School is out and they could be doing all kinds of things. And instead they're spending their time here educating us about their own family and their own mamas. So thank you, River and Towns.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, guys.
And thank you for joining us all as we talk about, you know, what Pride Month means for us. As part of our family for Three Righteous Mamas, but also just asking y'all to think about what it means at your tables and in your friends and chosen family and community, right? Because allyship starts with all of us. And so we look forward to staying in conversation with everyone. Happy Pride.
Thank you.